Coming up on today's show, we have got the best rumours for the upcoming Galaxy Note 9. Rich here is bringing us all the goss from Comic-Con, and we've got some ghostly happenings all over CNET. Yes, there's so much happening on the CNET UK podcast. Hello, hi Rich.
Hi, how you doing?
I am wonderful, although I was going to say I'm really warm because obviously it is astonishingly hot in London and indeed the country at the moment. But the studio here is so well air conditioned that I'm feeling great.
It's lovely, yeah. I was thinking this was going to be like a nice quick podcast. We'll just crack through the news fairly quickly. But I'm thinking actually we're just going to drag this one out because otherwise we'll have to go back up. We'll have to go back outside into the roiling cauldron that is the outer doors.
Yeah, that is London and hot black tarmac radiating
I'm
heat
too
back
hot.
Up. And it is not very nice. Yep, whereas in here.
So stick with us because this is going to be a long one, folks.
I know, probably a couple of hours, I reckon. Yeah. I might even need to put a hoodie on because I'm almost getting chilly.
I might have a lie down. Anyway, should we get going?
Yes, let's get going straight away. Let's dive in, first of all, with the Samsung Galaxy Note 9, because that is, of course, Samsung's, let's call it, second most important phone launch of the year after the S9 Plus. Now, what we do know about this phone is that it's going to be coming on August the 9th.
Wait, the Note 9? Is it a phone? Is it a tablet? Oh, it's somewhere in between.
It is, but we're not going to
call
past
it discussing
that
word. We're not going to use that word.
We're not using that word.
Has it been a long time since the P word has been on the PH word has been on this podcast?
It has, and also that we just don't really call it that anymore because now kind of all phones are big.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when the Note first launched, I think it was only like, I can't remember exactly, but it wasn't very big. It was big. It was smaller than a lot of phones are now. And then that word was being thrown around a lot because most phones are around a sort of the 4-inch or smaller mark.
God,
and now
time.
Most phones are sort of 6 inches or, you know, 5 to 6 inches. So it was sort of a little pointless distinguishing between them anymore. So I'm glad that word doesn't tend to crop up as often. The word is phablet. Obviously, that's the word we're skating around. I did have to skate.
Yeah, the we already had phablets and netbooks and all that kind of rubbish.
I had a
kind of rubbish. Yeah.
I had an AEPC, which was Asus, I believe.
Yeah.
Did the EPC.
Good times.
I bought it at university because I thought it would help me with my uni work, and it sort of did, except typing on it was an absolute pain in the ass. And it was one that I bought. It ran Linux, about £30 cheaper than the Windows version. So it was only about £220, which for a laptop is, at the time, was very cheap. Mm. Still is, actually. But then I just put a version of Windows on it because Linux was absolute horse plop.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not easy to use, yeah.
No, anyway, back to the Note. Yeah, so it's August the 9th, which
to
is
number
a
nine.
Lot
Great.
Earlier, August the 9th, than we'd normally have the Note. It used to be an IFA product, which we're obviously going to go and cover at the end of August, early September. So
wait, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. Ah, 9th of the
8th. Not quite. Yeah, they could have done 9th.
They could have done 9-9.
They could have done 9th of 9th, although that would be putting it right in line with the unveiling of the iPhone, which is
all the more reason, I think.
I think Samsung is a little self-aware enough now that were it to hold its launch event.
Dream big, Samsung. Dream big.
Well, they did once, I think. Oh, no, it was the other way around. Apple, I think, at NBC, I think it was a Nokia press conference. This was years ago. Or maybe it was at CES.
I think the first iPhone was announced during an MWC where Apple wasn't at. So apparently MWC had whatever press conference it was in those days, like some Sony Ericsson or Siemens press conference or something, and the hall emptied.
Yeah.
I like to imagine, because it was a few years ago, I like to imagine that all the journalists in the kind of press conference ran out the back and ran straight into those like glass booths.
The payphones.
And they picked up the phone and they were like, we got the scoop.
Hold the front page.
Hold the front page. There's my phone. Anyway, yeah. So we should probably talk about the Note 9.
We
were going to drag
Note
this
9.
One out. We want to stay cool,
I know,
guys.
Right. Basically, I know, Rich, that you are a big fan of the Note series, in particular the Note 8. So you will be very pleased to know that the Note 9, as all the rumours say so far, is basically going to be the same phone with just a couple of tweaks.
Oh, good.
Design-wise, there have been some leaked renders. There have been some cases that have sort of come out, and it looks like
it's exactly the same.
It's basically the same. I think the camera orientation on the back might be landscape rather than vertical, but who cares? at all. And size-wise, it may not change at all either. So one of the bigger rumours, and this is one of the bigger rumours that's coming up, is that the S Pen, that's for stylus, might be yellow in one of the colour variations.
What?
I know, right? It might be yellow.
Well, actually, is this what we've come to?
It is. Well, one of the interesting things actually about the S Pen, I was leading in with a little bit of fun.
Okay, go on then. How interesting is this?
The S Pen could be Bluetooth connected and actually allow you to control the phone.
Blue and yellow.
Ah, very clever.
Yellow and blue.
Or maybe green. Potentially, with this Bluetooth functionality, you could control the phone remotely. So in one example that was given in this rumor was that if you had the your phone on a tripod and maybe you wanted to take a nice group self-portrait, you could use the stylus as a shutter release. And you could sort of just sit back hold the stylus and click for top. And it'll take the photo. There could be other things, maybe controlling music or answering calls. If you say maybe you got it on in a charging dock and you're using, you're doing something else, but you've just got the stylus in your hand, you can maybe control things. So that actually could be quite interesting, and it's a sort of thing that Samsung would roll out. Those sort of features that you never really knew you wanted, and almost certainly then find that you
I'm still at that stage. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you still don't want them, but it could be interesting.
I like the idea of so you've got a pen that controls your watch, that controls your phone, that controls your computer. I love that. You could just walk over and just tap a button on your laptop, but no.
But you know you can't do that.
You've got the pen, watch, phone, laptop.
Yeah, we're living in the future now, Rich. That's how it works. Yeah. Some things that we probably won't see is a notch, like we've had in most Android phones now, and following, in the steps of the iPhone. Samsung has been pretty outspoken against this notch. It didn't have it with the S9, and so it's unlikely to have it here.
Also, why did notch become the buzzword of technology over the past year? What's going
because
on?
Because Apple. Apple did it.
The word notch, it doesn't even, I mean, it's barely even a notch. I would say it was more of an outcrop.
An outcrop?
Yeah.
An outcrop that you could maybe dive from. So, I mean, it is there.
I don't think it's a notch.
You don't call that a notch?
I don't think that's a notch.
That's
no,
a notch.
That's not a notch.
It's almost like a tab.
That's not a notch. This is a notch.
It could be like one of those tabs, like
I wish
tab
I had
a.
something with a notch on it to produce at that point. Maybe we'll just edit in me holding something notch-like. Just Photoshop CG something in here, me holding a notch.
What would that notch-like thing be?
I don't know, but it's not that.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad we've covered that.
Yeah.
You can expect it to have the usual latest Qualcomm process and all that junk. And it'll be expensive.
Sure, Qualcomm will be very pleased to hear that. Cutting edge, technologically miraculous technology described as junk.
I meant junk in a group sense rather than a negative sense.
Right. I see.
So that's kind of it.
That's it. Yeah.
So far, I'm disappointed because at the rumors, because it doesn't seem like this has got much to really get that excited about. It looks basically the same as the Note 8, which is a great phone, no question. But this doesn't really do anything to take the Note 8.
Who's taking
further.
The Note line forward? That's what I want to know. Where's the innovation?
Innovation.
Yeah, you can have that, Samsung. They probably already use that.
They probably already have. But I kind of think that they do need to do something a little bit interesting with the Note, because it was the Note 8 that came after the disastrous flammable Note 7.
Well, that's it. It's maybe a safe pair of hands. If they were like, hey, let's do something really clever. Let's try and make, was it the battery or something? Let's try and make the battery fit even smaller
around. Yeah, it was all about
around.
Supercharging it, so it would charge really quickly and the battery tried to expand and couldn't.
Yeah. And they went too far. They went too far, Samsung. You went too far. And, maybe they obviously just they need a safe pair of hands. They just need to shift a few units of this thing so people forget about the fact that the other one blew up.
Maybe.
Which we just reminded everyone about.
We have, as we always will with every single Note launch. Maybe the Note 10 will be a little bit better. I bet they'll do Note X.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll change the name. Because when everyone gets to 10, they end up changing the name, usually. I don't think there's going to be an 11 of anything. There you go. There's a prediction.
No.
Which we probably already have some 11s. People are probably already going to get, like, dial in and just be like, yeah, there's a bunch of 11s.
Almost certainly. Ben would turn it up to 11. Because then they've got the Spinal Tap tie in it they can do.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I'm going to move on from that because I think we've wrung all we can out of the Note.
But I
will say that the launch day is, as I say, August the 9th,
the
evening of. Now, we will be recording the podcast earlier in the day on the 9th, normally on that Thursday.
Okay.
So we could always push the podcast to the Friday talk about, include the Note 9, which will be big news, or maybe we'll have a few more rumors.
It's a dilemma.
Actually, I've got another suggestion, but we'll have to talk about that off air.
No, no, let's just ring it out. We've got to keep enjoying this sweet aircon.
Well, we'll have a full NDA briefing, I presume, on the phone. We'll know about it before then. So we'll just record the podcast as though we know all about it.
Oh, nice. And what we'll do is we'll be like, so if you're listening to this podcast, we'll pretend that it's Friday, but it's actually Wednesday, and it's to pretend that it's going live on Thursday.
But it won't go live until the Saturday, so it will be out. This is really live in
time
podcast,
travel.
Our planning meeting for how we're going to do this. You're really behind the scenes, behind the curtain on this one. So we're definitely, let's move on to Comic-Con, Rich, because there's been a lot going on with the world of comic.
Yeah, that's correct. So the past weekend and past week was all about Comic-Con. It was where we got all the kind of the new, exciting sci-fi, fantasy,
keep
geeky,
talking, it's going to fill up my coffee.
Stuff. Okay. Coffee in this weather. Is it cold brew?
No, it's hot brew.
It's hot coffee. I mean, that's how cool this podcast studio is. Look after your pets, folks. Dogs die in hot cars. Check under your cars for hedgehogs. Is that Bonfire Night?
That's Bonfire Night.
Okay, all right.
You shouldn't be setting fire to your cars anyway. even on Bonfire Night, Rich, it's frowned upon and a bad use of resources.
So at Comic-Con in San Diego the past week, there was no Marvel and there was no HBO, which is kind of a big deal. Marvel had already released Avengers Infinity War and Black Panther and Ant-Man, so they were like, we're not going to have a Comic-Con presence.
And they're normally quite big players at Comic-Con.
Well, huge, yeah, because I mean, so the
like Samsung pulling out of MWC.
It totally is, yeah, or Apple not going to
which they
don't, so there you go. HBO also wasn't there, so that meant no Game of Thrones and no Westworld, which are obviously these two huge sci-fi fantasy shows, but that's because Game of Thrones is kind of not on for a while, so they couldn't really like release stuff.
Yeah.
So
the new season isn't until
next year.
I don't think they've
announced when it's going to be yet. They're doing the series in like sort of mini movies. They're going to be extra long episodes, but it's going to be a little while before we see that yet. And there's definitely they're avoiding leaks very, very tightly because it's the final season. So there's a lot to
everything's sort of coming to a bit of a climax, and I can only assume that. Zombie dragon that reared its head in the end of last season, spoiler alert, is just going to annihilate them all.
But I think that is the end. It's a very short...
Just be one happy fat dragon sitting on the throne, like, it was me all along.
Yeah, there's going to be like a heat wave across Westeros because this dragon's just going to sort out winter and stuff. I think that's what's happening here. A dragon somewhere is just... You see, this is how important Marvel and HBO are. We've just started talking about Comic-Con and then just spent 5 minutes talking about two people who weren't even there, two companies that weren't even there. What was there? So that meant that because there was this kind of like void, Warner Brothers and DC, who worked together to make movies based on DC comics, they were able to step in and actually kind of claw back some of the limelight from Marvel's
cinematic universe. What have they got?
Well, the lead two things were Aquaman and Shazam trailers.
Sorry, Aquaman.
Isn't he the
booby prize of superheroes?
Oh. Absolutely. Talks to Fish. No, he's played by Jason Momoa now.
His character is still a joke.
Well, I've got to say, this trailer looks like a lot of fun. I mean, DC have kind of done it all in slightly the wrong order. They tried to do what Marvel had done, and they went kind of fast-forwarded straight to their version of the Avengers, which was Infinity War, without doing the kind of individual movies to build up in the first place. But now they're doing the individual movies, and they've been really dark and gritty up to this point with Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman and Justice League. And Aquaman and Shazam actually look like a lot of fun. They're colourful, fun. They look a bit more Marvel-y, but they've still got kind of that DC flavour, so that looks like a lot of fun.
Now, Shazam, I'm assuming, I know Shazam as the app that tells you what song is playing. I'm assuming that is not a movie based on that app.
No, but there is a TV show based on that.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a TV show. Jamie Foxx presented it. It was called, I don't know, like Shazam That Song or something.
It was the modern version of Name That Tune.
Exactly that, yeah. That's awful. It was called Can You Beat Shazam? You had to name the tune before Shazam could.
That's a TV show.
That was a TV show, yeah.
It's a drinking game at best.
So Shazam is actually the new name, or also the old name for Captain Marvel, because there are, confusingly, DC and Marvel both had characters called Captain Marvel due to like copyright disputes.
DC had a character called Captain
because
Marvel.
Before DC was called DC, going way, way back to like I can't remember the exact dates, but it was like the 40s and 50s, kind of the golden age of comics. They had a character, before Marvel was called Marvel, they had a character called Captain Marvel. And then later on, Marvel, the company, began, and they invented their own Captain Marvel, and there was a bit of back and forth about the two, and eventually DC kind of gave way and said, okay, we're going to call our character Shazam, which is the magic word that he utters to turn from a small child into a colourful superhero. So there you go. So it's called Shazam. Mm. There you go. But that actually, that trailer actually looks like a lot of fun. It's got Zachary Levi in it. It looks like a funny, fun kind of teen superhero movie. It looks a bit 80s, really. So it's a bit of a throwback. But it looks, yeah, it's kind of the lightest thing I think DC have ever done. Speaking of stuff that's not been very light for DC, they're launching this new streaming service called DC Universe, where they're going to have some original exclusive shows. And one of the shows is called Titans, and it's about Robin and a bunch of other sidekicks, basically. And it's kind of based on Teen Titans. You might have seen the Teen Titans cartoon, which a lot of people are big fans of. That's very lighthearted, funny. It's deliberately kind of a bit of a send-up of superheroes. Titans, the new show, it's live action. Oh, it's gritty. It's bloody. It's gory. It's grown up.
They swear.
They swear. Do they swear? Cool. I mean, I can't tell you what they say, but if you watch the trailer, oh, there's some blue language in there.
Did they say flip?
Even worse than that. It's incredible.
Worse than flip.
Worse than flip. So that's kind of interesting. But yes, so that's part of DC Universe. That's the new streaming service. Disney is also going to have a new streaming service, which is going to have exclusive new shows. And one of the things they're doing is they're bringing back the cartoon The Clone Wars, which a lot of people were big fans of years and years and years ago. I mean, it's not that long ago, but for some people, they were growing up with that. So they're bringing that back for a little bit. Other big things that came out of it, for one, a lot of people were talking about Jack Ryan, which is a show that's coming up on Amazon. Now, Jack Ryan had a thing at Comic-Con where a lot of people do this. They have these things called activations that are like events, right? The people who go to Comic-Con, the fans and the kind of journalists and the press and everybody who goes to Comic-Con, among the panels and the presentations and the new trailers and stuff, those things called activations where you can go and you can try some kind of experience, right? So it'll be like an escape room or a virtual reality thing. And Jack Ryan, or that kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Jack Ryan had this virtual reality thing that sort of put you into the shoes of Jack Ryan, and you were like ziplining around with a VR headset on and stuff. And a lot of people were talking about that being really, really exciting. So far, that sounds more interesting to me than the TV show. I don't know who still cares about Jack Ryan. And there's been 21 novels about that guy. And
21
I just
novels.
Don't, and they're all bestsellers. I don't know why anyone
Jack
cares.
Ryan. I don't trust anyone who has two first names.
I don't trust anyone who's been in they've had four attempts to turn him into a movie, and it just they couldn't do it. And they keep coming back to it. I guess because it's a best-selling book. I mean, it's being made by Amazon. If anyone knows about best-selling books, it's Amazon. They obviously know there's an audience for this. It stars John Krasinski, who I really, really like. But, you know, maybe loads of people are excited about this. I don't know. But, yeah, if you're up for the fifth attempt to turn Jack Ryan into a thing, it is going to be a thing.
That's
going to be on Amazon fairly soon.
The DC Universe streaming service,
yes.
When you talk about, like, you know, original content, is that stuff that they are funding themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's DC characters from the DC Comics world. So there's going to be Swamp Thing, there's going to be Titans, there's going to be Harley Quinn. A bunch of the people who aren't in the movies, the DC comic characters who aren't in the movies, like Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, are going to come to TV shows, live action, animated TV shows, that kind of thing. And you'll only be able to watch it if you subscribe to DC Universe.
I'm assuming they're going to be pretty low budget.
No, I mean, DC's pretty huge. So, I mean, the fact that Titans is a live action thing means that it's going to be reasonably up there, you know. And they have all the kind of the Arrowverse shows like Flash and Arrow, which are all like, they're a bit cheap because they're telly, but so I think it's probably going to be on that kind of level.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as well, with DC Universe, it's not like you get Netflix and you can just watch movies and TV. The thing with DC Universe is you'll also have access to digital DC comics, which is a big deal for a growing number of comics readers. So that's shout out to anybody who remembers that a lot of these movies were comics first. Look out for that. And that is pretty much all. So the thing we've got to remember, though, is that it might seem like a fairly quiet Comic-Con. It sounds like DC had their moment in the spotlight, but it sort of felt like a lot of this stuff was stuff we'd already knew was coming. There weren't any like big shock announcements or anything. I mean, Clone Wars was kind of a big shock. No one really saw that coming, but that's still a show that we'd already heard, you know, had already existed. So what we're looking forward to is 2019, because Marvel and HBO will be back. Marvel will be there with Avengers Infinity War Infinity War 2, Avengers 4, whatever the new the Avengers movie
put
is
put something
called.
Else with another number on the end.
Yeah, the post-Thanos movie.
Are we expecting any original things from any of these people, or are we just sort of rolling out the same old crap with a bigger number on the end?
Oh, there's a new Men in Black movie coming out. You know, that's been rebooted, right? I know you're a huge fan. Long-time listeners will find that it's going to have Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson in it.
Yeah, I've heard they were doing some filming in London for that recently. Mm,
and Emma Thompson is in it as well.
Yes, she was in that. She was in 3.
Yes, she is going to be the. She's going to come back and be
the new Z.
Agent Z. Yeah, whatever she was called.
Yeah, I watched Mamma Mia 2. while we're on films, really, I just want to let you know that there is a film out in the cinema that I have actually been to see.
Wow, did you enjoy it?
I did. It was great. It's ABBA. Who doesn't like ABBA?
Yeah. I went to see Mission Impossible Fallout the other day. I thought that was a lot of fun.
And
one thing that's worth noting in that movie as well, a lot of that is shot in London. And you might have heard a while ago about Tom Cruise broke his ankle doing a stunt. He jumped off a roof he broke his ankle. And that shot apparently is in the movie.
Is it? Can you see the moment where he just
crumples? He just sort of crumples.
Starts crying.
Well, the way that he's basically indestructible in this movie, he's crashing off. It's called Fallout because he's just falling out of things. He falls out of helicopters, he falls off motorbikes, he falls into holes.
Like a Benny Hill.
It's just him just like rolling, just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling, and then falls off something and keeps rolling and rolling. But the scene in London, one thing that I like about that scene is it is geographically plausible. It's not like a lot of these movies that come to London, and like Fast and the Furious, they're driving down a street in London, they go into a tunnel which is in Liverpool and come back up somewhere else in London, which isn't even anywhere nearby. But this movie, they start at St. Paul's. In fact, they start at the First Dates restaurant, funnily enough. And they leg it through the streets, and they wind up at the Tate Modern in a way that is geographically plausible, apart from the fact that he runs across the top of Blackfriars Station and runs across some rooftops. But the actual, the route he takes is pretty much plausible.
Okay.
Technically speaking, Simon Pegg, as a Londoner, should probably have known to direct him across the Millennium Bridge rather than the Blackfriars Bridge. But
No,
he is in the movie. Saying, he's like telling Tom Cruise.
He's literally giving him directions.
He's literally giving him directions.
Okay.
There's a gag about tablet screen lock rotation screen lock rotation lock.
It's tech relevant.
It is tech relevant,
and that is why we're talking about it on this podcast.
Sean Keane, our new recruit, did do a good piece about the gadgets of Mission Impossible, and it's quite fun to look back over those movies because they started in 1996. And that's a long time.
That is a long time. And Tom Cruise been in them all.
He's always been
Mr. Impossible.
He's always been Mr. Impossible. And he gets more and more impossible
Mr.
every
Mission.
Time.
Mission. Is it Mission Impossible? Is it hyphenated? Is it double barrel?
It's Ms. Impossible.
Ms. Mission Impossible.
Oh, the punctuation in Mission Impossible titles is ridiculous. Mission : Impossible - Fallout. It's crazy. Semicolon.
They need a sub editor. They need our Nick Hyde
on that.
They absolutely do.
Oh, I'm enjoying this aircon. Stretching this out. This
so I know, right? What are we on? Like 2 hours so far.
Should we go back
so
to the
far?
Script?
Yeah, let's go back to the script. Let's move on. Unless you've got anything else that you want to particularly highlight that's coming up or that you're doing. Just hanging out.
Yeah, just hanging out.
In which case, we're going to move on because, and this isn't.
I think I mentioned something. Recently, I talked to the guys who did the visual effects for Sicario 2, Day of the Soldado. Right, and you might think, what visual effects are there in Sicario? It's a movie about people in the real world running around doing real world things like driving cars and dealing drugs and flying helicopters and stuff.
As we all do.
But actually, there's loads of visual effects in there, and they're all invisible. Well, I mean, they're not invisible. You can see them. That's the whole point. You can see them. It's just that you don't know their visual effects. So I did an interview that was with them about the difference between working on a movie like, say, a superhero movie, a Marvel movie,
where it's all big effects,
and you know it's a special effect because it's a guy flying, shooting lightning bolts out of his elbows.
And people can't really do that. I believe that's the case.
Even in
Hollywood, that you can't really.
I believe so. Apparently, I've looked into it, and apparently they can't.
Okay.
So this is a look at how visual effects are ubiquitous now. Digital visual effects, computer-generated CG visual effects are even in places where you don't think they're there.
Cool.
So there you go. So look out for that.
So you have done something. I knew you had something to say, Rich, which is good.
Yeah, I know. I'm just literally just sitting there next to you at my desk just doing this, bashing on my keyboard. Oh, I've just ruined the script.
You have ruined the script. Deleted it all. Okay, we'll have to wing it.
What else should we talk about?
Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about is a piece that Amanda Kusa, who's one of our writers from CNET in the US, has done, in which she invited a team of ghost hunters to come to her house.
What?
And to talk to her all about what ghost hunting involves and what they do and how they do it, and to see if they can find any traces of paranormal activity in her own home, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah.
And it really made me think about what's involved, because there's always been, you know, in every show, you know, if you even look at Ghostbusters, there's always, they've got the proton packs and they've got the sort of a shoebox thing they throw down and it goes, and the ghost goes,
the ghost trap.
I used to have one of those. I used to absolutely love it.
Really?
I nearly swore because I was so excited about how much I used to like
your ghost
thing.
Trap. And they had the PK meter, which goes, and people watching at home, I just did a PK meter.
You did?
People listening at home.
They'll have heard the noise.
They'll least. Go straight to YouTube to see my little mime. It was uncanny.
They'll have to. So I thought this was really interesting to kind of take a look into. Amanda's article is great. So she apparently got in touch with they're called Ghost Investigations New Mexico.
Yes,
because that's where she lives.
Yep.
And they are a group of Albuquerque ghost hunters, and they went round to have a look at Amanda's house. Now Amanda does say that she has an old house,
vintage. She calls it
vintage. Yeah, and in America it probably will be because it was built in 1942. But obviously in terms of British house, I mean, like,
we all read that and went, I've got shoes older than that.
Yeah, there's milk in my fridge has been there since 1941.
My mum and dad's furniture, I've got a table that's older than that. I've got a cake in a cake tin, and they're both older than that.
Exactly. So we did smile a little bit at that. But
actually, 1942, that is pretty old. I mean, I'm moving into a flat soon that was built about 10 years ago. So wanted to get in. Yeah. I'm moving into a flat.
But she sat in. Sorry, I was touching your leg there, Rich. That's not what this podcast is about. She sat in silence, basically, with this group of people on a Sunday evening with the ghost hunters. She had to go around and unplug anything that was making a lot of noise, which mostly was sort of like her fridge and I think like other basic electronic items. So the only thing that was actually making any noise apparently was her cat purring. So I don't know, she had to like annoy her cat or something to make it stop purring.
Silence.
Maybe
just
ask it to leave the room. But she said like there are rules. They have to sit quietly. They were recording audio, they were recording video. So if you make a noise and you know that noise is you, you have to audibly say that was me. So if you sneeze or your chair squeaks or something, you have to point out what it is so that when you listen back to the recordings, you can see what different noises
are. Like if your stomach rumbles, you go, that was me, or if you emit some kind of like ghostly high-pitched keening that seems to come from another dimension, then you just go, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, the sound of like a thousand souls screaming at once. If you make that noise accidentally, then you say that was me.
Yeah, just so the ghost hunters can rule that out.
Absolutely. And at the end of the evening, apparently Amanda and the team hadn't really noticed that they'd seen anything.
Don't spoil it.
Spoiler alert, go and read the article. But they had, apparently.
We'll put it this way. Have you heard on the news that there was definitive proof that ghosts have been discovered? No? Well, then I think that tells you how this all turns out.
You can probably figure this out. But
you don't need to be Dana Scully to know exactly how this turned out.
Yeah, this is true. But they did find a couple of audio anomalies, which they said couldn't be explained. So do go find the article. It will be in the will be in the link.
But what if you can't afford to hire the ghost investigators in New Mexico, JINMA?
I'm so glad you asked, because I have been doing some research on kind of what to do if you're interested in your own ghost hunting, which is a popular thing in Britain because we are such an old country with old buildings and castles and hotels and all this stuff where people may have died. And there are many
almost certainly,
many that famously say that they have regular ghost sightings. So I had a look on spookystuff.co.uk and they said, don't worry, you don't need giant Hollywood-style laser guns to become a ghost hunter. I mean, firstly, great.
Firstly, they're not laser guns. They're proton packs, and they're not guns. They actually just shoot charge streams, which allow them to basically entrap the ghosts and draw them down.
It's like a lasso.
It's like a kind of lasso, in a sense.
Yeah, they're busting the ghosts, but they're not outright murdering the ghosts.
No, they're just locking them up in a big like box in their basement altogether, which apparently is almost like, according to the real Ghostbusters, it's like another dimension in there, which means they're basically just taking all these poor traps, like poor roaming souls, and then putting them in hell in their basement.
It's kind of like when you capture a Pokemon with a Pokeball, like that's where it goes. It goes basically into hell.
Yeah, and this is the thing. This is why I think Walter Peck had a good point. The guy from the environmental agency who turns up at the end and he turns everything off. Guy's got a good point. That's why government regulation exists, guys. Startups can't just come along and start messing with the fabric of reality without someone coming along and saying, do you have a license for this?
It's that startup culture, though. Spooky stuff, say, if you want to go and do this, some things to take. A notebook and pen, camera and or a video camera with several sets of batteries, because batteries have been known to deplete unusually quickly in the presence of ghosts, sometimes even instantaneously.
Wow.
That's been my excuse when I've gone on a shoot and I didn't charge my batteries. I said, it's a ghost.
Must be a ghost.
You may find it necessary to replace your batteries during the session. Chalk to mark the spots where things happen, does. A torch, an audio recorder to record audio from spirits, apparently. Warm clothing, a thermometer, because ghosts are said to sometimes create a tremendous sensation of cold.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that right now in this weather.
Yeah, if we're just horribly haunted here. Maybe that actually is. The aircon's been off for weeks, but this room is so haunted.
Yeah. I'm actually dead.
I always wondered.
Yeah, this pod. You can tell by my performance.
Yeah, yeah. And the sort of the decomposition look that you've got generally.
Just
most
the
days.
Sort of the look and the deadness behind the eyes.
Yeah, exactly. But I did have a look around, and there's a lot of interesting ghost hunting tech that I found. On the cheaper end is the Laser Grid Pen, about $40, and this creates a green dotted grid pattern that apparently allows you to detect any apparition or shadow figure moving past it. Now,
sounds
surely
legit.
If it's a shadow, it won't block the light, so it's not going to cause anything. It would need to be a solid object to cause a disturbance there. There is the Paraforce Paranormal Music Box. This is $400. And I quote, "The PMB is a very intriguing and most interesting new instrument! It is creating remarkable results in investigations where something unexplainable is setting it off. No explainable scientific reason has been found. The engineers behind the PMB cannot explain why it is triggered during paranormal investigations." Well, great.
Sounds legit.
It's also the shape of a coffin, because of course it is.
Okay, yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, so they've done that. We've got the Paranology's Electroscope Triboelectric Field Meter. And apparently, this is $50. The electroscope detects static fields that the eye cannot see during paranormal investigations, such as the hair lifting up from one's arm, which presumably you could see.
Yeah,
I mean, I could see.
You could feel it, yeah.
Yeah, you'd feel that. The electroscope can be used as a handheld unit to detect static fields, can be placed on the floor to pick up energy fields, and even used for yes-no questioning of a spirit. So there we go. There's the Paranology's Gyroscope Digital Talking Board, $400, which is basically a digital Ouija board.
Okay.
You know the old thing where you'd have the Ouija with the letters of the alphabet, and you'd all put your hands on a thing, and you'd apparently the spirits would talk.
Mm.
Apparently, I mean, Waddington's used to make those as a family game. You used to be able to buy them in toy shops and stuff.
Other Ouija boards are available. Do you remember when we wrote a story about a Ouija board app, and for years and years afterwards, this little short story about a Ouija board app had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments on it of people just coming along and saying, just talking about Ouija boards and how they thought they were cursed. And loads of kids would come along, like teenagers would come along and leave their email addresses and say, can you tell me more about Ouija boards? And there were people who were sort of saying, oh, I did a Ouija board and now I'm cursed and it's terrible. And just hundreds and hundreds of comments by just... crazy people, you know.
I don't remember this at all.
Really?
No. We'll move. Wow. Another object.
Podcast gold, this is.
Paranology's Polterkom Intelligent Instrument Transcommunication Spirit Box. This is $510. The Polterkom is a custom-made communication device that produces amazing results. The Spirit Box does a motorized sweep through radio stations, allowing the radio tuning to be controlled by sensors that monitor the environment. Again, this looks like a massive steampunk log-burning stove, complete with those like random copper pipes sort of stuck to the outside that go nowhere.
Yeah.
Everything's very steampunk, because of course it has. And then finally, there's the Spectral Observatory. Don't really know what this is, and that's $700. Everything is super expensive, apparently, from this company if you want to get into finding ghosts. But my favorite thing, and this was on a website, lessemf.com, the Couples Ghost Hunt Kit, with the tagline, romance for the adventurous, adventure for the romantic.
Aww.
Looking to spice up an anniversary, impress a date, or add drama to your honeymoon. Imagine your partner's delight when presented with the idea of a hair-raising couple's ghost hunt.
Ooh.
Build trust and lasting memories when the two of you, alone in some spooky stakeout, look to each other for confirmation or your findings and reassurance.
Wow.
Imagine the topics you will have to discuss afterwards and the fun of telling your friends and family about your adventure.
Blimey.
What you could find could change the course of your life. Now, that's the opposite of boring, they say, for $256.
That's absolutely incredible.
Do you see you doing that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think we should get one.
The couple's ghost. We could do this. We could go on a couple's ghost hunt together.
Impress a date. I love that.
Imagine if you went on a first date with someone. Actually, that could be really nice.
I think I'd found the one.
Yeah,
yeah.
If they took you on, okay. So I've bought for £200 this ghost hunt kit.
Yeah, totally.
And they turn up and you're like, okay, that's what we're gonna do.
Everyone's gonna have a hobby.
Would you be brave enough to do that for a first date though? If you were taking someone out for the first date and you're like, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're not gonna go for a meal. We're not gonna go to a cinema. That's boring. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go ghost hunting.
It's certainly memorable.
Do you think there'd be a second date?
It depends entirely on the person. Let's face it. I mean, you know, we might find a ghost. Imagine if you found a ghost. Your first date story was, so how did you guys meet? We found a ghost. Imagine that.
I suppose it depends on the ghost and on...
There's a lot of variables in this, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of variables. I'm not really sure it's something that I'd be trying.
No, fair enough.
But yeah, I thought that was really... I thought that was interesting, basically. Do go and have a read of Amanda's article, and maybe we'll try and review some of these bits of tech at one point, and we'll have to give a star rating based on how it actually works. Because when I review a phone, I will go through its main features of what it says it will do.
Yeah.
And I will see, does it do it properly? Does it do it better than other things on the market? And it gets rated accordingly. So with these things, if they want to get, you know, the 4 and 5 stars, they're going to have to do exactly what they say. So if I don't find ghosts...
I think actually having them reviewed by a technology website is probably the last thing that these companies want to actually happen.
They probably don't want them, Rich.
No.
But I might do it anyway.
Yeah, we might start our own ghost-busting startup franchise.
If that is interesting, do let us know in the comments below. And, of course, if you are interested in coming on a date with either Rich or I with the couple's ghost hunt kit, then you can let us know that too, and maybe we can set something up.
Absolutely. We're waiting to hear from you. I mean, this is the thing. We've been gently ribbing this whole ghost concept as well. But if you have had a ghostly appearance, if you have seen something strange in your neighbourhood,
who are you going to call?
Then you know, let us know in the comments. Something weird and it didn't look good. Then just let us know in the comments if you've seen something weird or unexplainable, or if you have had a then we're waiting for your call. Let us know in the comments, and while you're there, like and subscribe, rate the podcast, go to iTunes.
Yeah, you can do all of that stuff, and you can get in touch with us with sceneatukpodcast@cbsi.com. Rich, they can tweet you with
Rich Knightwell,
and me with @batteryhq. Some of the things I do actually have coming on before we wrap up, because I'm actually launched a new show with producer Jay, who is off camera, behind one of our cameras, in fact.
There's a reason he is off camera. Yeah. So I just need to stress that.
He is too handsome, and he would just pull focus from the two of us. Ugly nerds.
Yeah. Thanks for podcasts right here.
Jay and I have a new show. It's called Techadence. We look at the intersection of luxury technology. We've got a couple of episodes live already with the Divilet $4,000 Bluetooth speaker and a £4,000 smartwatch, both of which are really, really cool bits of tech.
Yep. And that we cannot afford.
We cannot afford. So we take a look at that, and we've got a great one coming up on Monday as well, with a behind the scenes on a photo shoot that I did. So make sure to keep your eyes out for that. I will, of course, be tweeting furiously about all these things if you just want to go and find it there. That's it. That's all I've got, Rich.
Great.
That is how I'm going to wrap up the show. So I think we should go and stay cool. Stay cool. It's a hot one out there. I mean, you are looking cool.
I keep unbuttoning the buttons as the show progresses.
I was going to say, you, there's another one that has just popped open there, and it did sort of detract me from my train of thought, if I'm honest. Yeah. That's it. Yes, please do like and subscribe, comment anything below, and keep your eye on CNET for all of the best tech news.